notes with. Grab your Bible as well if you brought it. Of course, we'll have all the verses up here on the screen. If you'd like a fill-in-the-blank version of the notes, you can download the Victory Harvest Church app in your app store. And we always say, if you want to write down what I want you to say or write down, you can download the app and fill in the blanks as we go. Our text will be out of Joshua 14 today. A lot of other verses around it, but we're really going to kind of march through this chapter. If you're new, we started this series, Joshua, in the book of Joshua, a couple of weeks ago. And we're looking at the Israelites' second shot at the promised land. So they've already been here once before. They failed under Moses. They went back in the wilderness. A generation died. And now they're back. And so Moses' aide, Joshua, has taken over. They show up at the promised land. And now we got to see what they did this time around. So the first week, we watched God split the Jordan like he had the Red Sea. And they cross over. Second week, they get to Jericho, this massive city. We talked about that last week. Third week, I actually preached back in January. This is the story that I got me interested in this story for a series. And so if you remember, some of you don't remember at all, but if you flip back in your notes that all of you took, back in January, the second week, we talked about this guy named Achan, where right after Jericho, they go against the city of Ai. And they're not able to take it. It's this small city. They just knocked down the walls. They just saw God move. And then they're defeated by this tiny little city. And the whole camp goes in disarray. They find out there's sin in the camp. Joshua confronts it. So all of that happens right after last week. So really, if you want a part three, put that sermon right there. So welcome to week four, everybody. Week four of Joshua. And I want to introduce our character today, who we're going to talk about, by giving you a list of names. And I want you to see if you know where this list is from, and if you can pick out who our main character is. So throw those names up there. Where's our list? So here we go. We got Shamua. This is not SeaWorld, everybody. This is Shamua. We got Shaphat. And if you want naming things, never name your children anything with fat in it. Here we go. So Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Nabi. Come on, I'm just trying here. Gadi, Amiel, Sether, Gwil. Anybody know who these names are? All right, I'm going to add two more names to the list and tell me if you know who these are. Watch the next two on this. Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, these are the spies. These are the 12 spies that Moses sends into the land. It's interesting to me. We don't remember the first 10. Bible gives us their names, but we never, ever think of them. Because honestly, this is a leadership principle. Negative people are always forgotten. Come on, somebody. But honestly, these 10, these are whatever. But then this pair at the end, Joshua and Caleb. And so we've been talking about Joshua. Today I want to talk about maybe the lesser known of this duo. Because these are the two that survive the wilderness. These are the two of the spies that come back and give a good report. These are the two that say, yeah, we can take the land. God has given this to us, the promised land, the first time around. These are the two that God looks on with favor. And so I want to talk about Caleb. Honestly, he probably needs his own series. But I think it's important to study his life. And I want to start at the verse that we're actually going to end with today. And that's in Joshua chapter 14, sorry. And then we're going to start at verse 13. It says, Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Come on, I might know the Bible's hard sometimes to pronounce. And something. And gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb ever since. And watch this, why? Because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. I think it's important to study Caleb. Because the Bible, you will see all throughout this story today, it talks about Caleb, how he followed the Lord with all his heart, how he followed the Lord no matter what, how he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And I believe, like Caleb, we start the journey of faith, zealous in our faith. We start the journey zealous in the things we're going to do. And the thing we keep coming back to with Caleb is that he was wholehearted, without reservation, whatever it was. He didn't hold anything back, deserts or giants or walls, fortified cities, it didn't matter. Caleb's like, I'm all in, God. Whatever you want, I'm in. Whatever you want, I'm a part of. And I think so many of us, we start the life of faith wholeheartedly. We're like, I'm in, God. Whatever it is, Lord, mold me, shape me, change me, strip me of all the worldly things, God. Whatever, I'm going to preach the gospel to the ends of the world. I want to be a light in whatever place you planted me. I want to do whatever it is. We get this vision in our heart. Lord, I'm in. And what happens so often for some of us, you're like, we're going to do this thing. And so you get this vision in your life or in your heart of like, I'm going to raise a godly family. And we're going to be in church every time the doors are open. And my kids are going to know the Bible backwards and forwards and the original Hebrew. Come on, somebody. And they're going to like, it's going to be amazing. And we're going to serve and find teams and get our giftings. And it's just going to be this incredible. We're going to do devotions in the morning and sing hymns at night. It's going to be hallelujah, kumbaya. And then life happens. And like school happens and sports happen and, you know, I don't know, crisis happens and vacation happens. And like 5 years later, we find ourselves, we kind of like get out of the flow. And we started really well, but now we're like it's 5 years down the road. And we're like, oh, he's heading to church for the first time, like once a year. Come on, somebody. We're going to church. And we're like screaming at the kids. And we're trying to get the thing. We're like, get in, so help me if you don't get in this car. It is 10:20. We have to sneak in before they bring the lights up. Come on, somebody. We are going to church. And you get here in the parking lot and you park and you're still yelling at them. You're like, we didn't even eat breakfast this morning. You got breakfast on your shirt. How is that possible? Get out of this car and get in there. And you're walking up and you're still, yeah, like up the sidewalk. And you're like, you're going to go to church and you're going to act like a Christian. And if you say words that you hear back at home, so help me, I will kill you when we get back there. Come on. And you pull up at the door and you're like, praise Jesus. How y'all doing today? Woo, praise the Lord. I'm doing it. And our greeters are like, welcome to Victory. How are you? You're like, woo, too blessed to be stressed. Come on. God is on the throne. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Somewhere we lost the vision of what it was supposed to look like. You single ladies, you're like, hey, I just have a dream. God's going to send me the perfect husband that people are jealous of. God's going to send me the perfect Prince Charming is in my way. He's coming. He's going to be over 7 feet tall and sensitive and athletic and love Jesus with all his heart and be able to provide and good with children. And 5 years later, you're like, I'll take a man. Just a man. Like, breathing is good. Job is optional. Come on, I'm hanging on. Just try. You get a dream in your heart. You're like, I'm going to start a business. And we're going to make so much wealth, it's going to blow you. We're going to start a business for Jesus. We're going to like generate wealth. We're going to build buildings for the kingdom. We're going to like feed the orphans and clothe the naked. We're going to be a Christian place for people to work. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be like all the things we're going to do. It's just, I'm not going to be able to build banks big enough to hold what all God. And 5 years later, you're like, I should probably get a job. I should probably send some resumes out there and like try to get an income, like something could happen. Somewhere along the way, we lose sight of the vision God has for us. Somewhere along the way, we're like, okay, I'm started this thing. I was zealous and like life just seems to happen. You know what I mean? Like life just seems to like ruin everything. And we show up at the end and we're like, okay, I've been waiting 5 years. I've been waiting 10 years. I've been waiting 20 years. And I think it's important to study the life of Caleb. Caleb was someone who waited well. We talked last week about our marching. How does that weigh? That was 7 days for the Israelites. You want to talk about Caleb? You'll see in just a moment. Caleb waited decades. And yet every time you see him, it said he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. He followed the Lord. And Caleb actually lays out the years in just a moment in a verse we'll read. And yet he still waited well. And so I think it's important. We're going to look at the life of Caleb. Because there's some principles, very simple today, that I think will help us to be like Caleb. Verse 6 out of our chapter is where we're going to start. It says, now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, said to him, you know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God at Kadesh Barnea, about you and about me. You know what Moses said about us. So just some context. Remember this. Caleb and Joshua are the two of the spies that came back and actually survived. The two of the spies that actually brought a good report. And you go and read it. Those other 10, the 10 that brought back, those weren't losers. Those were like leaders of their tribes. And yet the Bible says after they brought the bad report, they die of a plague. It's pretty tragic. After they caused the people to rebel. And then they go out in the wilderness and an entire generation dies. And so Caleb and Joshua are the only two that have survived. Joshua takes over. And now Caleb is on the brink of actually realizing the promise that God made to him. And so he says, when he made that promise, I was 40 years old when Moses sent me from Kadesh Barnea, when we were spies, to explore the land. So the first thing, watch this, the first thing Caleb had an opportunity to do. So Moses calls together the 12. He sends them out. First thing Caleb says is, I had the opportunity when I was 40 to go and explore the land and actually see the promise that God has for us. If you're taking notes, the first thing that a preserving faith, if we're going to be people who wait well, first thing a faith can do is faith sees it. Faith has to be able to see in the supernatural what God is doing, what God is at work, what is the promised land. So the first thing Caleb says, first thing I did is I saw it. I saw it. And watch this. Caleb sees it, but he doesn't see what the other spies see. Because faith that sees it, it's not what you see in the natural. Faith has to look at the supernatural and see, okay, what is God doing and what is God promising? What can be? What could be possible? Because you're about to see 10 of them get it completely wrong. They don't see anything in the supernatural. They forget about what God promised. All they see is the problem. So I would just ask you, I believe God wants to give you a picture of the promise for your life. And so Caleb was able to see what others couldn't. Numbers chapter 13, they come back and they give Moses their account. And they said, we went in the land to which you sent us. And it does flow with milk and honey. Like it is amazing. But, and one translation at that part, it says, only this. You ever had a conversation with somebody where they're like, that, it all sounds good. And they're like, only this. He's like, but the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and large. We even saw the descendants of Anak. We saw the giants in the land. And so they bring back this report and they say, it's too much for us. It says, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Termites and the Nicotites and the Gesuntites and the Dynamites. Come on, help us, Jesus. The Pizza Bites, that's a good... Some of you just woke up for the first time today. You're like, is that in the Bible? Is that in the... It's interesting. You should read it sometime. They're like, they're all in the land. They're all coming for us. They're all too much for us to take over. It's too much. And so Caleb, watch this. But Caleb silenced the people. Remember, these are leaders of their tribes. These are Caleb's like, oh, you shut your mouth. Silence the people before Moses. He said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we could certainly do it. Caleb saw what the others couldn't see. Watch this. But the men who had gone up were like, we can't attack these people. Caleb saw what they couldn't see. But then the men are like, we can't do it. The land devours people. They're too great of size. The cities are too... Caleb heard them say this the first time. I don't know why they were repeating it to him. Caleb's like, yeah, I was with you. I saw that. But Caleb saw what they couldn't see. Caleb's like, we are certainly able to do it. God has promised it. We need to take the land. Caleb's like, I can see what you, I don't understand where you got these leaders from, Moses, but they're no good. We can do this thing. We can take it. So my question for you today, do you see God's promise or do you see all the problems? What do you see? Caleb saw what they couldn't see. Are you looking through the eyes of faith to see what God has called you to in the next season? Or are you just focused on the problems and the giants and the risk and the walls? Caleb saw what they could not see. You got to see through the eyes of faith. You got to begin to look at that and see through the eyes of faith and see, hey, this marriage restored, my children coming home, my ministry being built. You got to see through the eyes of faith, my witness being strong and a light for this world. You got to see what God has for you, because I promise you, it is greater than anything you could possibly imagine. And Caleb's like, we can take the promised land. We can see it, but it's challenging to do this when you're on this side of the miracle. You're on this side of the promise. Caleb's like, I can see it though. I can see this. And honestly, you go back a little bit in your Bible, you will see this happen, this discouragement in the waiting. It happened to probably one of the greatest names attached to faith in the entire Bible. This happened to Abraham. It's fascinating to me. Because God comes to Abram in Genesis chapter 12. And this is the verse we all know. God comes to Abram and he promises something. He says, I will make you into a great nation. And then he sets him out on this journey to leave his family and his friends and his whole home and go to a land that I'll show you. And then just a few short chapters later, like three chapters in chapter 15, it says a short, watch this, it says sometime later. And we honestly, it's only a couple of flips of your page, but it honestly, we estimate about 10 years. This is about 10 years. Abraham is full of faith to become this nation. But Genesis chapter 15, the Bible says, after some time, after he's done all this, the Lord comes back to Abram in a vision and he says to him, don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you. And your reward will be very great. And Abram replies, honestly, I think, like a lot of us do, a lot of us pray when there's a promise of God or there's a season of waiting. And Abram replies, he says, oh, sovereign Lord, what good are all your blessings when I don't even have a son? And his promises, you're going to be a great nation. Abram's looking at this. He's like, I'm going to be a great nation, but I don't even have a son. I don't even have, and it's amazing how easy it is for us to reduce God's blessing down to the lowest common denominator. Like we think this domino has to fall or none of the others. This has to happen. This brick has to be laid before anything else. And the wall that God sees is so much bigger. The thing that God is building is so much greater. But we come back to like the one little thing we think has to happen for all of that. How easy it is. Abram's like, you want to be father of many nations. And he's focused on the fact I don't have a son. See, so often we're thinking addition and God is thinking multiplication. So often we're focused on the small and God is looking at the large. And Abram's frustrated. He can't see what God sees. He can't see. And God's like, I'm going to make you the father of a great nation. The entire world is going to be blessed through you. But Abram at this moment, you'll see he's in his tent and he's frustrated. He's telling God all the things he can't see. He moved away from everything. He followed the Lord blindly. He had the faith. And now he's sitting in his tent thinking, oh, Lord, what good are all the promises? You haven't done this. God, I don't understand what you're talking about. And you read on in the story. He actually says, and I'm passing all the blessings you gave me to my servant. I got this friend. I'm going to give all the money you gave me because there's no way you can do what you promised. I don't even have a son. You're talking about nations, God. I don't have a child. He's fussing at God over my expectations haven't been met. And my timing isn't what you're doing, God. And the things I thought should happen by now haven't happened. And so I'm frustrated. And I just want to remind all of us today that if God simply met all of our expectations, we would miss out on the countless times he exceeds them. We'd miss out on the countless times that God does above what anything we could ask. Too many times we're like, God, do it in my timing. God, do it in my way. And we would have missed out on all the things that God was actually doing. That went far beyond. We serve a God that doesn't operate on our timetable. His ways are higher, the Bible says. His thoughts are higher. Ephesians says he's able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ask or think. What God wants to do through your life is bigger than what you dream. It's bigger than what you think. You got to get bigger vision, see through a better lens. So God comes to Abram, verse 5 of chapter 15. God says he takes him outside. I love this verse. God's like, I got to get you a new perspective. Like you're sitting in the tent sulking and throwing a pity party. Let's go outside for a second. So Lord took Abram outside. And some of you, like if you have a rougher past, you're thinking, then beat him up. No, Lord takes him outside and said to him, look up in the sky and count the stars if you can. That's how many descendants you're going to have. He said, Abram, I know you're sulking in the tent. I know you don't have the perspective that I have, but you got to see through the eyes of faith. You got to get a better vision and a better lens of what God wants to do in your life. Because faith sees it. Faith sees the supernatural. See, Abram was focused on like, I just need one child. But the Bible talks about how we are all the descendants. We are all the seed of Abraham's faith. And so in that moment, Abraham's focused, I don't have a child. God was focused on all of you. Can you imagine the vision God had of the future, of all the things that would happen because of Abraham's faith, all the things that God would bless, all the things that God would do to the present day, that God could see that. And Abraham's sitting in the tent thinking, oh, Lord, you haven't done this one. How easy it is for us to throw the pity party when we can't see what God sees. That God's plan for your life is greater. He had to get him to a new place. He had to take him out of the tent. And honestly, this is one of my greatest prayers for you as your pastor. That God would take you by the hand, that he would begin to show you, begin to give you just a glimpse of all that he has planned. Because so many are stuck in the tent. Some of you today, you are stuck in the tent of discouragement. You're stuck in the tent of circumstances, of setbacks. Whatever it is, God leads you by the hand. And you say, I don't understand how it could come to pass. I don't understand. We're going to pray today that God would put that vision in your heart. That God would give you a glimpse of what it is. Because what he wants to do through you is so much greater than you could possibly imagine. Is anybody alive in this church? Anybody going to sing? I'm preaching 87% better than you're responding, but that's on you, all right? That's just, no, it's too late. You can't do it anymore. God's got vision for your life. And like Caleb, through the eyes of faith, we got to begin to see. What dream is he placed in your heart? If you don't have one, we're going to pray today. Back to Joshua chapter 14. Caleb's like, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. 40 years old. And I brought him back a report. I brought back the report when I saw him, according to my conviction. Second step of faith, jot it down, is faith. Once it sees it, faith says it. But I want you to be very careful about what faith says. Faith doesn't just like shoot off at the hip. Faith actually says it. Faith says, I spoke about, Caleb says, what I was convicted. I brought a message back about what was possible. About what my faith was convicted of. We talked last week about the power of our words. If you missed it, you can jump online, the app, whatever, listen to it over. I just want to remind you, Proverbs talks about life and death in the power of the tongue. That the things that we are speaking. James talks, has so many metaphors. James talks about the tongue being the rudder of a great ship, how a ship. Now listen to me, this is not like name it and claim it, blab it and grab it nonsense. You know me better than that, all right, everybody? But I'm just saying, if you set the rudder of your life towards the rocks, you will hit the rocks every time. You speak death long enough, you will bring death. And we have an opportunity to speak life, life over our marriages, life over our children, life over our ministries. We have the opportunity, but too often we are inadvertently speaking death. And Caleb said, I didn't speak about the things I saw in the natural. I saw the fortified cities. I saw the giants. Saw everything else these guys saw. But I talked about my convictions. I knew what was true, and that's what I said. I knew what God had promised, and that's what I told Moses at Kadesh Barnea. He sent me out 40 years old to see the land, and I came back and said, we can take it. This is the promised land of God. I spoke with the eyes of faith. We are more than able. Go back to verse 30. He said, we can take possession of the land. We can go up. We should go up, for we can certainly do it. Caleb said, I saw everything they saw, but I spoke my convictions, speaking life over the nation of Israel. He was convinced our God is able. But it's not what the people did. People, unfortunately, they got the 10 spies in their life. They started listening to them. And Deuteronomy, I kind of pieced these together. Deuteronomy 1 is where Moses recounts what happens at this moment. You're getting every kind of angle at this story. Moses is recounting to the nation of Israel the history. This is what happened. He said, you rebelled against the command of the Lord your God and refused to go in. You complained in your tents and said, the Lord must hate us. That's why he's brought us here from Egypt, to hand us over to the Amorites to be slaughtered. Where can we go? Our brothers have demoralized us with their report. And they say the people of the land are taller and more powerful than we are. And their towns are large and the walls go to the sky. And we even saw the giants and the descendants of Anak. It's not possible. You said it's not possible for us to overcome them. And this little passage, honestly, it blows my mind. Because I want to remind you, these are the people that just a few short weeks before saw God move in incredible ways. Like preserve them and kept them safe during the plagues in Egypt. And then set them free and brought them all the way to the brink of the Red Sea. And then when Pharaoh's army came, split the waters and led them across. And then destroyed Pharaoh and his armies with the waters crashing. And then led them through the wilderness, gave them food from heaven in the desert. These are the same people just a few weeks before. And it blows my mind how they get from this, seeing the promise of God, and then just a few short weeks are in outright rebellion against him. That's what Moses says. You rebelled against the Lord. You rebelled. And I was just thinking, so many times we do a version of this. Like we see God move and we see the promises and we believe with our hearts and we see him do these incredible things. And then like a short time later, we're like, no, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to refuse. I'm not going to share my faith in this situation. I'm not going to lay down my pride and accept humility. I'm not going to listen to when God says to restore this or to humble myself here or to forgive that. I'm not doing that. What makes it where we go from wholehearted to outright rebellion? Like, what does it take where we go from, okay, I said yes before and I was with him, but just a few short weeks. Nope, I'm not doing that. And honestly, it's in this verse if you work it backwards. It's all right here in this. Because it starts, it's fascinating. Back to verse 20, at the end of it, it starts with the wrong relationships in their lives. They start to listen to the wrong voices. We talked a little bit about this last week. It says, our brothers, they demoralize us to report. They tell us that the people are larger and the cities are fortified and all these things. The land swallows up people. They're the ones who tell us that we can't do this. Look at the negative and the haters in their ears. And then what they did is they brought it home to their tents. Watch this. We flip back just another verse. You complained in your tents, it said. And what they did is they brought this home, which honestly I think is even more toxic, is the fact they listened to this report and then it says they brought it into their tents. What they thought was private. And they talked about it where they thought it's secret and nobody knows about what goes around the dinner table. And nobody knows it's a private place. But Moses said, you let the wrong people speak into your life. You let the haters and the complainers and the ones who don't care about you anyways, and it led you to all-out rebellion against God. Listen to me, church. What you talk about privately will impact your faith publicly. The things you talk about privately, you say, well, nobody knows what I talk about. Nobody knows the pillow talk. Nobody knows around the dinner table. Nobody knows this is private. It's in our tents. It's in our house. And we get what you talk about privately will impact your faith publicly. And too many times you get the voice of the haters and the complainers, the ones who don't love Jesus at all, the ones who hate the name of God, the ones who hate anything God is doing in this world, the ones who don't even believe what you believe, and they're telling us what we should think and how we should act and what we should believe and what we ought to do. And we'll take that home and we'll sit around the dinner table and start to talk about, well, God didn't do it for us like he did there, so he must not love us. And Moses said, and he talked about how God must not be for us. And you talk about these things, well, so-and-so got that promotion, and so-and-so bought that house, and so-and-so got blessed because of this, and so God must not be for us. God must do it for everybody else, and he must not be. And then we wonder why we're not taking the promised land. And we're saying things like, well, it must not be. It just can't happen the way it happened for them. And it takes us to a place of rebellion. Honestly, it changes our perspective. It changes our attitude. You ever think, well, my attitude towards God has changed. My attitude towards people, and I don't know why. Begin to look at the things you're saying. That you think, well, they're just careless words. They're just things thrown out. No, no, listen to what you're saying. Changes our perspective. It messes with our attitude. It takes us to a place of rebellion. Parents, you cannot tell your children that every teacher and every coach and every pastor is dumb and doesn't have it together. And that teacher is just teaching stupid curriculum. And they were an idiot when you were in school and they're an idiot now. And that coach, he didn't know what he's talking about. If he knew what he was talking about, he put you in the game. But he's got you on the bench, so he doesn't know what he's talking about. You cannot say those things day after day. Eventually, your children will grow up to not respect any authority or anything over their lives, any leadership. And then when it comes time to submit to God for what he wants to do, you have placed them in a spot where it's not even possible. You put them in a place where they can't even listen to the word of God because they've thrown off every type of authority. There's no submission. There's nothing in their life. The words that you are speaking, and we say, well, it's private. It's in my home. No, no, no. It will affect your faith publicly. It will affect the next generation. We can't tell ourselves the lie that what we say around the dinner table, what happens in private, isn't affecting our public faith. These people lost the promise of God, rebelled against the command of God because they listened to the wrong people and they spoke death over their future. Faith doesn't allow that. Faith says, no, no, I see God's hand over this marriage and there's healing coming in the name of Jesus. Faith says, I see my children for what they can be. I see my children not for what they're not. I see them for what they are. That God has made them history makers and world changers. I see them. Every time they come home, I'm not talking about how lazy and how whatever. I'm not talking about what they're not. I'm talking about what God has placed inside of them. I'm going to talk life and speak life over them. Faith speaks life over the provision that God has blessed us with. Yeah, God already blessed me. God did this in my life. And listen, faith begins to speak. If I don't have it, I don't need it to do what God has called me to do. So I'm going to praise him for his blessing. I'm going to praise him for his hand. And I'm going to step out in faith for what God is doing. God will provide. Faith talks about what can be. Faith talks about the promise. You need to find the promise of Scripture and stand on it for your family, for your life. Begin to speak life. We take the promised land. Verse 10, Joshua chapter 14. And now then Caleb said, just as the Lord promised. He's talking to Joshua. Remember, he said with Moses, just as he promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years since the time that he said that to Moses. While Israel moved about in the wilderness. So here I am today, 85 years old. Watch this in Caleb. Caleb's like, here I am today, I'm 85. I don't know if there are any sports fans in the house. This is Mike Gundy. I'm a man. I'm 40. Come on, somebody. And if you don't get that one, like if you need another ref, this is Sally O'Malley. I'm 50. Come on, son. I like to kick, stretch, and kick. Come on, son. I'm 50. And if you caught that one, shame on you. Come on, somebody. You are. Bible's everywhere. I don't know if they got that from the Bible. Caleb says, I'm 85 years old, and I'm as strong today as I ever was. Caleb says, I'm 85. I'm as strong as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out in battle now as I was then when I was 40. Caleb's saying, I spent 40 years in slavery in Egypt. I spent 40 years in the wilderness. I'm here 85 years old, and I'm just as strong as I was. Stop saying you're old. Caleb's like, we're time to take the promised land. Stop saying, watch what he says. So now quit saying, he said, now give me that hill country that the Lord promised. You know what I love? Caleb's not now. Give me that flat land because Lord knows my knees are shot. Come on. Caleb's like, give me that valley, because Lord, now that cartilage is gone. And so we got to take that out there. That sciatic nerve is bad. No, Caleb's like, give me that hill country. It's time to take the promised land. I'm 85. Give me that thing. We're going to take it. I don't care about the giant. You heard the giants were there? That's the one I want. Show me those. Send me another giant. Send me those places. Don't say, he said, the Lord has preserved me for such a time as this. This is my time. The Lord helping me, I will drive them out, just as he said. 45 years since the first time he said, I saw the promise, and they didn't listen to him. You remember this, Caleb waited. Now 45 years, and Caleb's like, I don't care, I've got the promise, I'm here. He's like, Lord, preserve me for this time, I'm here. Show me the giants, show me the hill country, show me the cities, I'm going to take this thing. He said, the Lord helping me, I will drive them out, because the last thing faith says, faith sees it, faith says it, and then faith seizes it. Faith takes it. There's a time, listen to me, church, you have to be able to see in the supernatural what God has promised. You got to be able to have a vision of what could come and what God has said. And you got to begin to speak life and say it. But there comes a moment where you just got to step out and do it. We got to step out and take it. Caleb, this is a long process. For Abraham, this is a life. If your dream is big, it will be a lifetime process. But Caleb's like, I don't care. I waited and I waited and now's the time. Caleb says, 85 years old. Remember, he had to hold that dream while everybody around him died in the desert. Entire generation had to perish. But Caleb didn't waver. You know why? Because his body was in the wilderness, but his heart was in the promised land. Like Caleb, he saw it 40 years ago. 45 years he's been. He had that vision. He knew what God had said. And I just imagine Caleb, all those 40 years in the wilderness, every time there was like a teenager or a new, somebody who got born who was going to be a part of the next generation, Caleb going back, you want to know what I saw? I saw a land that God promised us. I saw a land that we're going to take. And when we get there, they're like, that old dude, that 85-year-old dude, he's just going around, we're going to take it. And now he's here. He said it. He saw it. He said it. And now he's like, we're taking this thing. I don't care if nobody comes. I just imagine Caleb. If no one had gone with him, he would have taken the promised land. He said, the Lord promised it to me. I'm going to keep my vision where God is leading me. And one day I'll have the opportunity. And listen, even when he gets here, this is not easy. He's 85 years old. He's got to like climb high walls. He's got to take out giants. He's got to go through all these cities in the hill country. But he said, man, if God is for me, who can be against me? If God promised it, who can say no? If God opened the door, nobody else is going to shut this thing. I'm taking the promised land. He waited, and then he got to the promise. He said, I'm ready for the challenge. I know God has preserved me for this moment. And watch this, our last verse where we started. So Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and he gave him Hebron as his inheritance. And so Hebron has belonged to Caleb ever since because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. Bow your heads as we pray today. God, we thank you, God, for your promise. Lord, I thank you for every person in this place, Lord, that they would just catch a glimpse, just a vision of what you have for their lives. Lord, today you would lead us out of the tent. You would lead us out of discouragement. You would lead us out of whatever lies other people have tried to speak to us. You would lead us out of fear. You would lead us out of rebellion. You would lead us out of wherever it is we found ourselves. And like Caleb and like Abraham, you would let us see what you have promised. God, right now, for those who are discouraged and they don't have a vision of whatever it is you could do, right now, begin to drop that in their spirit. Begin to show them what's possible. Lord, in the eyes of faith, we want to see the supernatural. Holy Spirit, show us what you have for our life. Show us what could be for whatever season we found ourselves in, whatever season of waiting, whatever season of discouragement, whatever season it is, show us what God has for us. Build our faith today. And then, Lord, let us be careful about the words that we're speaking. That we have the promises of your word. Lord, that we have the promises you've spoken over our families, over our lives, over our ministries, over our children. God, you have spoken life, and so how could we do any different? Lord, let us be careful about every word we speak. That in faith we would speak life. I mean, God, I thank you that your promise for us is so much bigger than we could possibly imagine for ourselves. I know there are giants, and I know there are cities to overcome, and I know there's the hill country, and I know we may feel tired. But Lord, let us say with the eyes of faith like Caleb, we're 85. With the eyes of faith like Caleb, we're at the end. What people would think is that, Lord, but we see a promised land, and we're going to take it. And with the eyes of faith, we see, God, you have created us. You have kept us for such a time as this. Like Caleb, he said, I'm as good as I, Lord, I can do whatever it is, Lord. I'm as vigorous in battle. I'm all of these things, God, you have preserved us, and so you're the one, Lord, who sends us. I pray right now for someone, Lord, who feels like they've gone through too much, or they feel like they made too many mistakes, or they feel like it's too far gone. Listen to me, church. It's never too late to step into what God has called you to do. So I pray right now, Lord, be with us. That there's a promised land waiting patiently for the promises of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And one more invitation today for those of you who are here. And maybe you're far from God today. And listen to me, that happens in so many ways. I don't know what happened in your life. Maybe it was expectations that you had set. And it didn't happen in the timing or the way that you thought. And so it caused you to be at odds with God. Or maybe you've never known him and you've never had a vision of his plan for your life. And you're like, today I'm ready. Listen to me, wherever you are, I don't know, but maybe wherever it is that you are, that you're far from God, listen to me, here's what I do know. And that is that he loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And even in this moment, he still wants you. I don't care what you did. I don't care where you find yourself. I don't care all the things that are in your past. He wants you right now. He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And the promise we talked about, the dream of a life that he has for you, that's still available right now. But it starts with submission. It starts with surrender. And so in this moment, you say, that's me. I want God's plan for my life. I want to be all that he's called me to be. Right now, that can be you. Right now, you can pray a prayer of surrender. And it'd be our honor to pray that with you. Our church has dedicated ourselves. We will pray this to the end of our lives with anyone who wants to pray this prayer. If that's you, I just want to pray with you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come to the front. Listen, there are a lot of times to go public with your faith. Right now is between you and Jesus. Because the Bible says right now you have to decide. But if that's you, pray with us today. And church, we pray this with them. Nobody prays alone. Say these words. Say, Jesus, forgive me of all my mistakes, all my sin. I repent. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose again. And I make you the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name. And all God's church said amen and amen. Come on, can we give God praise for what he's done today?